Today I received a very interesting email from a gentleman who calls himself Lighten Bush, B-U-S-C-H. And I'm going to read you this email. And this is a very telling email about how people get into justifying endorsing those who are evil. Endorsing, calling evil good and good evil. It's a very slippery slope. Now, this person, at the same time of justifying C.S. Lewis and going to his movies and endorsing his literature, also endorses Martin Luther King Jr. at the bottom in quotes in his email. Obviously, Martin Luther King Jr., that's another subject for another time. We need to see exactly what Mr. Martin Luther King Jr. actually believed. He certainly did not believe the Bible. Hi there. I had the chance this week to listen to your sermon about C.S. Lewis leaning toward occultism and how that belief in occultism should discount him from any Christian credibility, and furthermore, how any God-fearing Christian should not attend any of the movies that were made from his books. Well, that's a half-truth. C.S. Lewis didn't lean toward occultism. C.S. Lewis was an occultist. He was in secret orders. His best friend was Tolkien. He practiced. And by the way, occultism, maybe we need to define it. Maybe we need to define what an occult practice is. Well, we can go directly to Webster. I hope that Mr. Bush will accept Webster's definition of a cult. What is an occult? Okay, what it says here as it relates to that question, I'm going to just read you it is not revealed, it's secret, it's mysterious, relating to supernatural agencies, their effects or knowledge of them. The theory of occultism relates to secret superstitious agencies. Now, C.S. Lewis not only was a member of the occultic practices and secret orders, he even founded one of the secret orders, but he also, by his own admission, practiced Catholicism. Now, we've got another message on our sermon audio that states that the Roman Catholic Church is the largest cult, C-U-L-T, in the world. Now, we probably ought to make a distinction between the occult and the cult, and a cult. A cult, according to Webster's Dictionary, we're going to read that for you too, because I've made a charge that the Roman Catholic Church is a cult. A cult is a formal religious veneration, a religious system, a faddish devotion, a group of persons showing faddish devotion. That's what a cult is. Now, C.S. Lewis believed in purgatory. Now, this letter, he says here that I think your conclusion of exclusion is very misguided and effectively limits God's power. First of all, my friend, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, you cannot limit God's power. Okay, God's power is not limited by man. So it's obviously you don't understand the sovereignty of God by saying that anyone, especially human, can limit God's power. Okay, I think your conclusion of exclusion is very misguided and effectively limits God's power to use these highly spiritualized books. Highly spiritualized books. You know, there's a lot of highly spiritualized books out there, Mr. Leighton Bush. You know, having come out of the New Age movement, I could give you a list of what people consider highly spiritualized books, starting with you might want to get some of Eric Butterworth's books and Fox's books, Emmett Fox, and you might want to get some of Mary Baker Eddy books. They're highly spiritualized books. How about Holmes and the Church of Scientology? Highly spiritualized books. This man believed in purgatory. He took the sacrament of extreme unction. He never, ever, ever believed in hell. Even down to the end of his life, he didn't even believe in hell. And you're trying to say this man's a Christian. Now, it says, if we, as tools to bring others to him, look, God doesn't need any tools to bring anybody to himself. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he doesn't need man to do anything. You cannot add to or subtract from the kingdom of God. Obviously, you also don't believe in predestination and election. Now he goes on and he says, if we as Christians are going to exclude those who are not perfect and do not believe what we believe, then we might as well rip out a large chunk of the New Testament. Well, first of all, my friend, C.S. Lewis did not believe the New Testament. In fact, he spoke against the New Testament. And he also was very involved in Catholicism. He went to a priest to confess his sins. He did not understand the grace of God. And I don't know what section of the New Testament you're proposing to leave out. But he says, might I remark that Paul had much more destructive track record toward early Christians than C.S. Lewis does. Might I add to you, Mr. Leighton Bush, that the Apostle Paul was converted. C.S. Lewis continued to go to a priest to confess his sins down to his dying day. C.S. Lewis denied the existence of hell. C.S. Lewis was an alcoholic. C.S. Lewis never believed that there was even a literal heaven. C.S. Lewis believed in evolution, my friend. C.S. Lewis never gave any evidence of conversion. The Apostle Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, may I need to remind you of that, and was given a new heart. So to put the Apostle Paul down, he says, and yet God's power redeemed Paul into the foundation of his church. There's no evidence that C.S. Lewis was redeemed. He continued to flirt and practice occultic behaviors his whole life, and he continued to associate those who were involved in the occult and the Catholic Church his whole life. Now he goes on to counsel me. He says, the attitude that pervades the sermon is one of self-righteous judgment, which I find distasteful. I'm very sorry, Mr. Bush. Now you're going to call me a Pharisee. The Bible says that there will come a time when they will no longer endure sound doctrine and they will turn unto fables. And that's what you've done. You don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God, and so you have turned yourself unto fables. I'm sure you would also support Harry Potter. You probably should support Adventures in Odyssey by James Dobson's group, Focus on the Family. And I'm sure you would support a lot of the other people out there. You probably, I don't know, you might even support the Trinity Broadcasting Network. But anyway, he says, this attitude that pervades a sermon is one of self-righteous judgment. It has nothing to do with self-righteous judgment. It has to do, the Bible tells us to judge righteous judgment. And when we see someone that is exalted and lifted up and put on a pedestal as a Christian leader that was heavily involved in the occult, was an alcoholic, drank with his students, believed in purgatory, denied a literal hell, believed that we become God ourselves, that has no spiritual meat, that has no spiritual significance that we should adhere to. None. Now he says that this attitude of self-righteous knowledge and clinging to legalism. Clinging to legalism. I'm denying this New Age guru that's come on the scene that's promoting the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Screwtape Letters, and all these other fables. And I have no... this is not legalism. And he says, this is what pointed the Pharisees toward the rejection and persecution of Jesus. See how people, they turn it around? In other words, you should uphold occultic practices. You should uphold purgatory, because C.S. Lewis did, down to his dying day. You should uphold the fact that there's not a literal hell. This sounds like Billy Graham. You should uphold the fact that just because somebody doesn't believe in a literal hell or goes along and is in bed with a Tolkien, an occultic, and involved in secret orders and everything else, if you don't want to uphold them, then you're a Pharisee. No. Look, I am not rejecting Jesus Christ. I'm embracing his very doctrine. And I'm embracing the doctrine of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. Paul himself says, if there come unto you that preach any other gospel, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. Now, the next little statement's real interesting. I don't know how this got into this, but this is real interesting. He says, this attitude also led to Martin Luther's persecution by the Catholic Church. Well, you know, why are you bringing Martin Luther into this? Martin Luther came against the very thing that you're coming against me for. If you're speaking of Martin Luther, the one that the former priest, it doesn't say Martin Luther King Jr. here. Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on Wittenberg door and came against him. Why wouldn't they persecute him? You don't think I've gone through persecuting from coming against C.S. Lewis? Okay, and so he says, Martin Luther's persecution by the Catholic Church is factored in the deaths of various men. Not the least of these was Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. did not believe the Bible, my friend. He was a universalist. He believed that God loved everybody. He believed that God died for everybody. Obviously, you need to read the 9th chapter of Romans, my friend. This makes me wonder, should we leave the judgment and shaming to God? Well, Paul didn't leave the judgment and shaming to God. Peter didn't leave the judgment and shaming to God. Jude didn't leave the judgment and shaming to God. John didn't leave the judgment and shaming to God. You know, I think it's time that we have some modern day people that will hold people accountable for endorsing all of these people. I ask you this. If you disqualify... I'm going on reading his email. If you disqualify C.S. Lewis because he was a sinner, where do you stop? Look, you know, this is so asinine, it really doesn't even really render a reply. I'm going to give you a reply. So are you saying that we should not disqualify sinners' doctrines? In other words, we should uphold the doctrine of sinners. Is that what you're saying? Sounds to me like you might be a Mason. Sounds to me like you might be in the Masonic Lodge. This is the doctrine they teach. All paths lead to God. You know, let's call good evil and evil good. If you disqualify a sinner, where do you stop? Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I disqualify a sinner from being touted as a Christian leader. I disqualify an occultist and a practicing Catholic from being a Christian leader. Going on. I'm sure that as a human you have faults, as do I. What does that have to do with this? We are talking about doctrinal issues here, and we are trying to uphold the Word of God. And C.S. Lewis denied the Word of God. C.S. Lewis, again, I'm just going to remind you, he practiced occultic behavior. He was in secret orders. He was preoccupied with occultism. He believed in purgatory, my friend. He said that he believed that we all become gods. You think that we should not disqualify someone that thinks we become God? That sounds like Benny Hinn. Okay, I'm going to go on. I'm sure that as human you have faults as I do, but if we follow the pattern that your thinking has established, then I should not be critiquing you because I have sinned and thus am incapable of producing anything of value. Similarly, you should not be ranting self-righteous judgments. I'm not ranting self-righteous judgments. I'm preaching the Word of God. I'm calling a spade a spade. I'm calling black black and white white. You're into shades of gray, my friend. And it says, ranting self-righteous judgment and limiting God's power. Obviously, again, you don't know anything about the sovereignty of God. God's power cannot be limited by man. God says, I work all things after the counsel of my own will. And so if you think that mere little old Larry can limit God's power, you're giving Larry an awful lot of power, my friend. Limiting God's power to use whomever He chooses to reveal Himself to those who don't know Him. Oh, well, I do believe that God is sovereign over evil. And I believe that God uses, He hardened Pharaoh's heart. And He said, "For this purpose I will raise you up, to show my power in you, that my name might be just shown through the whole earth." And I believe He's using C.S. Lewis right now to show that how that the society is so mixed up in their doctrine. That's what he's doing with C.S. Lewis. He's showing society, especially the United States, how absolutely we are so confused about what is right and what is wrong. Now, after he says, I limit God's power, he says, I have learned. Notice how he's got the inside track. You talk about someone coming across self-righteous here. I have learned. Oh, okay. That the power of God cannot be contained. Well, you just got through saying I limited God's power, and now you're saying it can't be contained. Well, that seems somewhat contradictory. I have learned that the power of God cannot be contained and put in a box, because he is sovereign and will work through that which he sees fit. Well, then I guess he'll work through Larry Phillips then, won't he? I guess he'll work right on through Larry Phillips. Just like he's working through Leighton Bush, just like he worked through Martin Luther, just like he worked through Martin Luther King, just like he worked through C.S. Lewis, and just like he works through Lucifer and Satan. Okay, I personally remember reading C.S. Lewis' Chronicles of Narnia as a young man, and found that the spiritual imagery helped my faith. Well, isn't that special? Helped your faith? Maybe if you'd been reading the authorized King James Version of the Bible instead of those fables, you may not be having this conversation with me right now. God knows how many countless others have found the visual representation of sacrifice, he doesn't know how to spell sacrifice, beneficial to their faith. Oh, really? Have you talked to these countless others who have found that? And are they wrapped up in the same kind of symbology and myths and fables as you are? He uses the word I imagine a lot throughout this I. I hope that you are somehow able to see through Lewis's stated purpose. Look, Lewis's stated purpose, he laughed at Christianity. He laughed at Christianity. He made a mockery of Christianity. And not only by his own mouth, but by his own life, upholding purgatory, taking the sacrament of extreme unction, saying that we all become gods, participating in alcoholic behavior, never denying a literal hell, affirming that we were evolved creatures, evolution. And you're here going to say that these are evangelistic tools? Evangelistic tools for Satan is what they are. I recognize your concern that we do need to stand up for godly principles as laid out for us in Scripture and follow the examples of Christ set for us. I knew there was going to be a but in there. Here's the but. But I cannot think of a time when Christ blasted someone for being a sinner without first extending them grace and using every opportunity as an evangelistic opportunity. Well, I can think of many times that Christ blasted the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites and said, "You're of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." And he says, "The reason that you don't believe on me is because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand." And so you need to read the 6th chapter of John. You need to read the 10th chapter of John again. I pray that I've not come across... No, you haven't come across too strong. Believe me. This is mellow compared to some. But that we can begin a discourse on the sovereign and graceful God. You don't even believe in a sovereign God. You've stated in this email twice that I was limiting God. God cannot be limited, my friend. God who has redeemed us and continues to transform us. Well, first of all, Mr. Leighton Bush, if you don't believe in a literal hell like C.S. Lewis, if you believe there's a purgatory like C.S. Lewis, if you have taken the sacrament of extreme unction like C.S. Lewis, if you believe that we all become gods, then, my friend, you haven't been redeemed according to Scripture. Now, he ends in Christ, Leighton Bush. Well, then he has a little thing at the bar at bottom, Martin Luther King Jr. Quote, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase," end quote. Well, I am not going to take the step of aligning myself with someone who affirmed all the things that I just went over again, and that's just a partial list, my friend. That's just a very partial list. And so, you know, if you want me to go over the whole list again, I can do that regarding the fact that C.S. Lewis was a cultic Catholic, practicing Catholic, and the Roman Catholic Church is not in the Christian religion. And there's a lot of people that are trying to be an evangelist. It sounds like you want to be an evangelist for the Catholic Church. Maybe you're a Roman Catholic. Maybe that's the truth of the fact. But whatever you are, I'm here to tell you that your works, all the works, if you're practicing going to a priest and confessing your sins like C.S. Lewis, there is no mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And there is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the man, that is Jesus Christ. And you know, you are upholding Roman Catholicism, you're upholding occultic behavior, and you're calling me a Pharisee for coming against it. Isn't that interesting? So I would encourage you to think strongly about what I have brought out tonight, and examine yourself that you're in the faith. And that would be my response to you. I hope that I have not been unkind or unloving in my answer to your answer to my sermon, to my message on C.S. Lewis. I hope that I have been straightforward, and I hope that you will find that as you continue in your study of the Bible, that you'll see that the Bible has a continuous, coherent doctrine throughout the Bible. And that continuous, coherent flow of doctrine is this. There is an eternal covenant between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there's no need to pray to the dead. C.S. Lewis prayed to the dead. There's no need to believe that after this life we're going to go to a holding station called purgatory. There's no need for us to go to a priest to confess our sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." There's no need to deny that Job was a historical figure, and that's what C.S. Lewis did. And there's no need to deny the doctrine of total depravity, the doctrine of original sin, the fall, which C.S. Lewis did. There's no reason to deny the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ, which C.S. Lewis did, because the whole tenure of Scripture, Isaiah, 2,000 years before Christ came, said, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have gone every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Substitutionary atonement, which C.S. Lewis denied. And, you know, C.S. Lewis said himself that whenever somebody said that this was a symbolism of Christ, you know what he said? He said, quote, "It was pure moonshine," end quote. So why don't you take C.S. Lewis's own word instead of taking your word or what you want to believe about a man? Well, that's my answer to you, Mr. Leighton Bush, whoever you are. And I hope that you will listen to this. I'm going to send you a link to it from your email. Obviously, you're not going to convince me to be a support or an upholder of an occultist, Catholic, hell-denying, Christ-denying alcoholic who prayed to the dead. I'm not going to uphold that at all. And I rebuke you strongly for sending me this garbage in the email. Father, we pray that you would take this information and have people to listen to this and think about it. We cannot call evil good and good evil. We have to take a stand against those who are preaching and endorsing false doctrine, and come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. We ask that your name would be exalted in these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.